This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3110 for Friday the 3rd of July 2020. Today's show is entitled, Finding an Android Phone to Run Lineage OS. It is hosted by Ken Farlun, and is about 38 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, join Ken on the 6-year-long journey of success but also failure.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. This is an episode about Android phones running Lineage OS. The goal is to make an affordable phone capable of supporting school apps and allowing a firewall. The reason why I want a firewall is not so much that I don't trust my children, it's that I don't trust the phone. Particularly, people in work have had situations where the phone has decided to turn on mobile data, and the data plans that I have is really expensive. So they don't need data. They do. They use Wi-Fi. They use Wi-Fi here, and they use Wi-Fi in school, and Wi-Fi at their friends, and they have 1,400 Wi-Fi networks that they can access. Also in the library, everywhere they're going. So you're not allowed to be on your phone anyway here in the Netherlands while you're on the bike. So, yeah, they have phone whenever they need it. I can always bring up a hotspot for them if they need data. So, good and well. That said, data is becoming a lot more affordable now. So, but I also don't like the idea of all the apps and stuff that are going out monitoring kids. And they loads of reasons not to have a lots of crap on your phone. It runs slower as well, and it just bugs me that you buy a device and you spend lots of money buying the device physically, and you can uninstall an application from Facebook or from Google or someone. Hello, what sort of world are we living in that you buy something and you don't own it? Anywho, long story short, don't do this unless you're willing to lose all the money that you have spent on your phone. If you are rich and you're getting it from a company, then you'll go to a Google phone that's supported for developer applications and you won't have this problem. But at the cost of the phones that I'm talking about here, sub 200 euros, sort of around the 150 mark up to the 300 euro mark, they make the money from the apps and stuff. So, yeah. My requirements. Supposed to be supported for 3 to 5 years. I need apps, so therefore it needs to be Android, and therefore that needs to be Lineage OS. So some of the apps coming from school, like Magister or whatever, they need Android, so therefore Lineage OS is my option. I need a firewall, and the firewall to use is AWF Plus. There was another one that you could use. That needs root, so therefore it needs to be unlockable. So getting a brand new phone means that developers have not had time to release the code for it. And catch 22 with that is older phones are no longer available for purchase and actually become more expensive. And too old a version and the apps are no longer available. So if you buy, as I did, a phone for myself, not 3 months ago, got it up and running, everything was perfect, and then I went to buy it again and that phone is no longer available. So then I tried to find a I found one in a strange color, which my daughter happened to like, and we got that. But then when I unboxed it, it actually had a different model number. Luckily, it was in the same family, so it still worked. But anyway, here are the steps that you need to follow if you're thinking of doing a phone. In the Netherlands, first of all, you go to a parameter search website that you can use to narrow down the phone on prices and stuff and the features that you want. There's this good site here in the Netherlands called tweakers.net that allows you to set the maximum price that you're willing to pay. So, for example, you might then want to go and say, well, I only want phones with Android 10 because I know those are the newest ones. And then you want to select an amount of RAM and the amount of storage. So I selected 4 GB of RAM and 64 GB the first time. Then I sorted by price from low to high. And as I was doing this, I checked support for TWRP, which is the recovery application that you're going to need. And they tell you if the manufacturer supports the unlocking or not. If they don't, then you need to remove those from the list. So you also can check Lineage OS devices to find your phone there. So you need to loop through this list. So you go through the first one and you find a HTC phone that looks perfect, or a Motorola phone. And you heard good things about Motorola. But since Lenovo have taken them over, they've basically stopped supporting unlocking on their phones. Then you hear that HTC has an unlocking service and whatever, but they don't release any code to the developers, so none of the developers have support for the phones. The Google phones are ideal, but they're way too expensive. Then you have the Xiaomi phones, which requires you to wait 14 days before you can unlock them, which is convenient because that just happens to be the amount of time before the EU mandatory return policy thing kicks in. So, yeah, you can throw all of those off the list. And then you'll find that your list actually disappears. So I had to change from Android 10 down to Android 9. And I ended up having to change from 4 gigs of RAM down to 3 before I found a phone that was affordable, which was a lot more expensive than I would actually pay for it, that worked with TWRP and worked with Lineage OS. The reason I spent more on it is that the kids do use the phones an awful lot, and the phones that they have are genuinely years old, because I was using them before they got their phones, and then as I got a new phone, then the next person upgraded, and when I got the next phone, then the next person upgraded. So that's pretty much how it worked. The policy then was just I would debug it for a while, then I'd go through this pain and torture that I'm going to explain to you shortly, and then I would pass it on to them. Now I'm trying to get the same model of phones, but basically, yeah, it's very likely you're not going to find a phone. And then you're faced with a choice of adjusting parameters. So you're going to end up finding something that's more expensive or something that may or may not work. And then if you find a phone, you're likely going to get one delivered to you that has a slightly different model version, but is one that isn't supported. But then you go looking and there's an unofficial ROM somewhere out there for it. I had this with my youngest daughter's phone where I got it. It was supposed to be supported. It was supposed to be exactly the same phone. Yet the model number had a letter or something at the end, which was not supported. Somebody had an unofficial ROM and I was able to get a version on, sort of. The phone has never been right since day one, but she's happy enough with it. But it's not ideal. So don't do any of this if you want a stress-free life and you're not willing to accept all your money has been thrown away. But I went and I ended up getting two phones out of this process because I just wanted to get this done. I ended up getting three phones out of this process. One is the same model as my own, only slightly different. Thankfully, fingers crossed, it was supported by the same developer. So that's good. It ran into issues, as you'll hear later, running Lineage OS 10, but I went back to 9, and it's fine because I'm comfortable with that. And the other phone is a Sony Xperia 10, so Sony Xperia A2, model number, what, L4113, as opposed to mine, which is a H4113. But I ended up going over to the PinePhone and basically ordering one of those, because those guys, it might be a slower phone, but at least it'll be your phone and you won't be dealing with this crap of unlocking and bootloading and whatever. It'll just work. Okay, well, first thing to do is turn it on and then run through all the over-the-air updates for the installed operating system. So I'm selecting English United States. I get started. I am aware of important safety information and aware data charges may apply, but I don't want to share any information. I connect to a mobile network. No, skipping that. Connecting to Wi-Fi. You have to connect to a Wi-Fi network in order for the over-the-air updates, and you need to do all the over-the-air updates, otherwise the unlocking tool won't work. So the first thing I need to do is log into a network, so let's do that. Okay, connected to my network here on my laptop, and then checks for updates. This may take a few minutes. It's installing updates. Okay, so now it says copy apps and data. I'm going don't copy. It's checking info and it's asking me to sign into Google, which I skip. Skip, are you sure, basically? And I'm going to turn off use location, allow scanning, send statistics, install updates, and you have to accept the Google privacy policies, which I've read before. And I don't particularly like it, but otherwise I can't unlock the phone. So I'm skipping the fingerprint unlock, and I'm skipping the screen lock, skip anyway. The whole point of this is I just want to get bare bones of Android thing running so that I can do the update. Don't want support from Expedia services, don't want to use other IDs, so I'm skipping that now. Yes, are you sure you want to skip? Yes, yes. So software updates. So on here, booking.com, ARFX, PlayStation, Movie Creator, Calculator. So I'm selecting, deselecting all of them, and I press OK, and it's adding the finishing touches. So your phone is ready to go. Or is it? So pull down from the top and pull down from the top again to get the little gear icon. And scroll down to the bottom, and then I go to support menu. Nope, not that. System, and go to advanced. So I'm making note about phone. It's L for Lima 4113, and I'm writing that down. And at the bottom it says software updates updated to Android 9.1. Go to system. Your device is already at the latest updates, so that is excellent news. Okay, so sometime later, in fact a lot of time later, I went through the following steps. I went to Lineage OS, to the devices, and the one that I'm going to be talking to you about now is the Sony Xperia 10. Not that it matters, because every phone will be absolutely different, so you need to follow the instructions for that one. Once you go to devices, and the code name is Kirin, K-I-R-I-N, Kilo India Romeo India November /install, then you need to follow the instructions. My advice is to copy and paste that and have text-to-speech play back to you so that you are sure that you don't miss anything. And my experience has also been that if you go back again in a few months' time, the instructions will be slightly different, that you will skip over, that it's possible to skip over a particular part. But anyway, so Once you have the phone installed, you need to make sure that you have Android debugging and fastboot installed. They come on for Windows, Linux, and Mac, and they're available on all distros, and the instructions are always linked on each of the wiki pages. You need to enable USB debugging. So you go down to the settings somewhere. Usually I get to the settings by pulling down from the top twice, and then there's a gear icon. You go down to about, you hit build number 7 times, then you go back. So go down to the bottom, about phone, and then scroll down to build number, and then you go back one, and then under system, then you have under advanced, you'll have developer options. You can also find it if you just type it into the search and settings. So there's two things you need to look for. Scroll down, check for Android debugging, USB debugging, or debugging, and enable that. And rooted debugging I put on as well. And then let's go back to the instructions here. So then you can plug in your phone into your USB slot. And if you go ADB devices, you'll get a list of devices that are attached. Now, usually they will not pop up. You will get a permission denied, and there'll be a pop-up that comes up. So you tick that pop-up and give permission to this MAC address. So you need to remember to do that. I've noticed that on some older phones, when you plug in the USB, you first need to go to pull down the USB. It'll say USB debugging connected, so tap to turn off. But actually what you want is to go down slightly further, and it says charging this device via USB. So I found that if you just press file transfer on that, then that triggers ADB to work. On the newer phones, you don't seem to need to do that. On the older phones, you always need to do that. So ADB devices, you can go ADB shell and ls-al, you'll see your phone there. This is just general on any Android phone. It's kind of cool. You might also be interested in the tool called Scripty, S-C-R-C-P-Y. I'm not sure what that's about, but I installed it as a not a Flatpak, but a SnapD, and it allows you to, once you have USB debugging enabled, it allows you to control your phone from your computer, which is handier when you're typing in commands and stuff. Swiping left is you click the mouse, click and hold scroll to press the unlock button, you hit the left key. So a nice little tool there. Need to remember to put a link to that into the show notes. Okay, after that side note, back to the instructions. So on my device, there's a hidden menu that's not available on all devices. This is particular to Sony's, could be even particular to this particular type of phone. So you go to the dial menu and you dial ************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************ Then there's a hidden menu comes up called Service Configuration and Configuration, and then Routing Status. And if it says Bootloader Unlock Allowed, yes, then you're good to go. So this is actually reassuring. There's two things I think Sony have done well here. This is the first one. The second one is that when you go to unlock your phone, when you unlock your device, you go to a website that they have. So you need to read the terms and conditions, and they're not pedantic about it. They're basically saying you need to go and get this code. So you need the IMEI number, the IDID, or the MEID in order to generate the code. And they basically ask you to fill out some terms and conditions, which are reasonable. In fact, I'll go to that again, and let me put in another one. So they ask you to enter your IMEI ID number, whatever, which you'll find in that hidden menu, and make a note of at least one of them. I have a dual SIM phone, so if you have multiple SIMs, you'll have multiple of those numbers. And they ask you to acknowledge that I may void the warranty of my device by unlocking the bootloader. Seems reasonable. I acknowledge that if Sony does perform some warranty repairs, Sony may charge a service fee for additional costs associated with the modified software. Which I also think is reasonable. So, yeah, fair enough. And when you do that, you get a number, which you need to copy and paste somewhere and remember. So, the good news is, from Sony point of view, is that at that point, you haven't damaged the warranty of your phone. You've requested an unlock code, but you haven't, in fact, voided your warranty because of that bootloader unlock allowed yes or no. If that was set to no, you just wrap the whole thing back up and you send it back to them. Within the European Union, there's a 14-day return period, no questions asked, where you don't even have to give an explanation as to why you're returning it. So now this is where the Heart Attack Central comes in, because from this point on, you're modifying your phone. And it has not always gone well, I can tell you from previous experiences. But at least with this, you have some confidence that it's going to work on this phone. So you drop to console and you type ADB, Android debug, space reboot, space bootloader. In my case, nothing seemed to happen, except I noticed that there was a tiny little blue light shining, and that's all the notice that you get. And then you type fast boot devices, and similar to ADB devices, that will list any of the devices that are identified. If there's no device identified, it ain't going to work. So then you need to try your actual unlock code. And the command for that is fastboot OEM unlock, and then the code that I got earlier. I'm not going to go into too much details about this because they're pretty much custom to this device, as I said before. So now that has unlocked your bootloader. So if you reboot your phone at this point, you will get a warning saying, please consider relocking your bootloader. So it's not obnoxious. The one on Motorola was very obnoxious. Warning, this device has been rooted. With this one, it's subtle, but it also is clear. And it's at this point I want to point you to a Tech Tab article about the Android boot process, because it does explain, at least to me, how what the difference is with a bootloader and recovery mode and how it works. And it's got an excellent diagram saying that you power on, you always go into a bootloader, and normally the Linux kernel will be loaded in it, and then all the Dalvik stuff and all the systems, and then you're in normal mode. You can load into two other modes called fast boot or bootloader fast boot mode, and on the other side you have load recovery kernel and RAM disk in recovery mode, so all that is in RAM. So have a quick gander at that diagram and the rest of this will make more sense. So what we're going to be doing now is we're going to be booting into a temporary recovery using fast boot. Yeah, and to do that we go ADB reboot bootloader. Again, we'll have the blue line. We go fast boot devices, which allows us to control the phone with this. And then it goes fast boot flash space boot space and the recovery image. And the recovery image in this case is the TWRP. And that's the Team Win Recovery Project. So that's a tool that will allow you to enter into recovery. It's kind of like the BIOS mode on a laptop or a PC. Now, some phones, at this point, you have it temporarily loaded so that it'll load the first time. You've basically selected the equivalent to F10 and boot from CD or something like that. So sometimes you need to do a weird key combination in order to get it working. So you hold on, you turn off the phone physically, you press and hold the volume up button, then you press power on or something. In the case of these Sonys, you have to press and hold the volume up button with the phone turned off, keep it hold, plug in the USB cable, and then the blue light should turn on. But thankfully, a lot of devices now support after typing in the previous command, you can just type fastboot devices, and that's pretty much it. Now, this is where I come across a weird one on mine. It gives some error messages about boot A and boot B, blah, 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 problems. And then reading the thing, it says, if you don't do the following steps, you will brick your phone. So you really kind of want to pay attention to that. And the answer is, in some cases, slot B can be unpopulated or contain much older firmware than slot A, leading to issues and a potential brick situation. So then you need to do this Android debugging sideload thing. So at this point, looking at the diagram again, we've fast booted into recovery image. And then you will have a little application called TWRP, which will be up and running. And you need to go to the advanced tab and hit ADB sideload. And the sideloading concept is where you send programs down via the USB cable. It's very handy and I've used it quite a lot. So ADB sideload runs a space copy-partitions.zip, and that has a bash script, I think, for all intents and purposes, that copies from one slot to the next. A lot of this seems mysterious, but in actual fact, a lot of the stuff is just bash scripts working in the background. So installing the recovery image again, you're now still in recovery, and you go to the TWRP menu, you type wipe, and then you format. You have to type YES in order to do that, and then you enable sideloading again, ADB sideloading, and you download the image that you have for this device. So the command there is ADB sideload and then lineage-17-blah-blah-blah, whatever it is that I already downloaded. So that's going to take a long time, and as with babies crying, it takes an awful lot longer than you think. The pace of time seems to slow down dramatically. So once it's started and you see it doing something it hasn't obviously erred, then go away for 10-15 minutes at least and come back then, and it should be done, because it pauses several times during the process, and it's heart attack central time. Okay, then optionally you need to install additional add-ons. Now in some cases you need to do a reboot in order for that to work. In other cases, you're supposed to be doing it at the same time that you've installed the firmware. And if you don't do it then, you brick the phone. That was the case with the Motorola. So this is why I'm saying you really need to read the instructions for your particular device. So I'm just going through these instructions, as I said again, just to give you an idea of what you can expect. In my case, then I can run ADB reboot sideload, and what that does is it loads a Lineage OS bootloader, Lineage OS recovery, fast boot mode, not sure what actually it is, and that allows you to have enough up that you can do a sideloading. You can get into some sort of custom kernel that can write to the devices. One thing I noticed about Android devices is that it is lying to you the whole time. It uses change and write file systems. The SD card is not the SD card. What is presented to you as a file system is an amalgamation of stuff. So be very careful in assuming that it is telling you the truth. They use Symlinks a lot, for these file systems. For example, if you ever wondered why, if you put in an SD card with music on it, you only have one folder with music, not two, is that it helpfully merges those two together. You might actually run into problems if one has a lowercase m for music, then it merges it as well. So really confusing. I found that once I'm using ADB shell, life gets a lot easier. But anyway, back to the phone. So once it's rebooted into the sideload command, you can go ADB sideload. And if you want access to root applications, I recommend installing Magisk, M-A-G-I-S-K. Version 20 is what I have at the minute, and that will install that, and that basically is the phone done. You have the option of installing Google Apps. I don't. There are various different packages of Google Apps. They have Nano ones, which just gives you the Play Store, and then they have Nano Pico, and then the Full Monty, and then they've got one that actually contains applications that Google no longer have available that they put on there. I don't install any Google Apps. This is a completely Google App free environment here. And if there is an application I need for the kids for school or something, I have one phone that I have, one of my old phones that I have just sitting on the desk. It's physically broken, but it actually, you know, physical connections don't work on it anymore for the headphones and stuff like that. So none of the kids want to use it. But I use that to download the Google applications from the Google Store that I need. And I use APK Extractor to extract those out, and then I make those available on the other phones. So yeah, that works. So therefore, I don't need to install any of the Google Apps on there. Means some of the applications won't work. Google Classrooms, for example, won't work. But fair enough. That is a sacrifice I'm willing to make. But if you did want to install them, this is where you do it. And then you do ADB reboot, and bam, all going well, your phone works. Or you've just bricked it and you're out all that money. So yeah, your call. Even at this stage, some of the issues that I've had with the Sony phones, which are very well supported, to be honest, has been Bluetooth and Wi-Fi stopped working. If you wanted to use Bluetooth, Wi-Fi turned off, and then it went into a vicious cycle with the Wi-Fi turning the Bluetooth off and the Bluetooth turning the Wi-Fi off. I needed to go to the IRC channel, and the developer was able to give me a fix which involved using SED, following a specific set of instructions, SED, AUX, and GRIP. The first time I did this, when I did the recording of the intro of this, I was actually working on my daughter's phone, and we installed Android 10, which is Lineage 17, and everything was perfect. She had everything transferred over and all customizations, and 3 or 4 days later she realized that YouTube videos weren't working, but they were working fine in VLC. So I said, okay, forget about it, and we put the same version that's on my phone on, because we know that works, and that seems to work as of yesterday. Then on my son's phone, the Sony Xperia 10, it seems to be okay. It seems to be working fine, but who knows? You check that it can send and receive phone calls, check that it can send and receive text messages, check with SatStat that the satellite navigation works, check that the photo with the photo app that you can take a photo and play it back. Photo and videos and playback. And then at that point, what I do is load the ADB tools and ADB push asterisks and all the APK files that I've transferred over. So I download, I run the Google Play Store and do an update on this other phone that isn't in use. I do the ADB pull run APK Extractor from the F-Droid store. then use ADB pull to pull them over to my computer, and then I can use ADB push to push them to the new phone, remembering also to download the FDroid APK. And that's the first thing I install. Go to the file manager, APK for FDroid. You need to give permissions to install that. Then do a FDroid update. Then install any of those weird apps that that you got from the other phone. I have some stuff as well for that are no longer supported on the FDroid store that just disappeared for some reason. Kids camera controls, that sort of stuff. Probably the COVID applications, whenever they come along, we'll need to do that way. So that's it. And if you're lucky, you have a working phone. Oh yeah, and then the very first thing I installed from FDroid is the AW Firewall. So the AW Firewall, you install that, and the very first thing you'll get is a pop-up from Magic saying, do you want to grant this root access, and if so, for how long? So that's one thing that you need to do. That will tell you that you do have root access on your phone and everything is hunky-dory there. If not, you may need to reboot and do a sideloader thing again from Magic. Then with that enabled, your AF firewall, I've noticed that in order for it to get the it will connect to the Wi-Fi, but it will say that there's no internet access available. So there's a few things that you need to check on that. I allow GPS out because that gives faster lookup times. I allow NTP and I allow VPN. You need to allow captive portal, and get this, you need to allow FM radio. Plus you need to allow network stack Android server network permissions config. So that's the one that you need to turn on in order to get AW firewall working as well. Okay, so with that, I'm going to record the introduction to this show. This has been very choppy, I understand that, but to be honest, let me check when I started doing this. This was going to be a show that I did about 6 years ago, literally, when I decided to give my daughter a phone for the first time. It wasn't 6 years ago. Yeah, no, it was 6 years ago, because then I had run Lineage myself for a few years, and I've been, every time has been, yeah, this is great, this is so easy, get it, it follows the instructions. And then you go back 6 months later looking for that phone, the phone is no longer available, and you get another phone which is supposed to work, and you think, hey, it's going to be exactly the same, and each time it's slightly different. So not for the faint-hearted. And as I said, I hope this is the last times that I need to do this, and that we can go to something like a Pine phone that is just open and full stop. And that if you can, with all honesty, go to developers, and there's no being beholden to a manufacturer for. So this, I will admit, is not my not the best show ever, but to be honest, I just want this one done because it was on my list for too long. There's information there. During this process, of the last 6 years, I've even asked several people for help, and some of the people who are very enthusiastic about Android at the beginning are just saying, no, I've just given up on it. It is too dangerous. It's just too difficult. It's too many complications, too many hacks, and too much risk. So they have just opted to treat the phone as a monitoring device. So that's pretty much it. Main reason for doing this is to get a firewall on, and that's it. Hope it's of some help to you.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hecker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.